Thank you, Wyatt. We appreciate it. Have your Bibles turned to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Excuse me, chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Title of the message is A Time Such as This. Chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles. Time Such as This. And a little bit of a different message in that it is a message of praise. And I'll explain that as we go along. We have many times already in this church, and a lot has already been spoken about the power of prayer and what we see that prayer can do. We have talked here before, while you're turning to that one in 2 Chronicles, and we've had the posters made and the things that we've talked about for a number of years. I'm sorry, I had y'all go to 2 Chronicles. It's right on the bottom of my page. Sorry. 1 Chronicles 29. My apologies. 1 Chronicles 29. Now, while I'm doing that, while you're turning to 1 Chronicles, I'm going to turn to 2 Chronicles a minute. See, Wyatt, it happens to all of us, buddy. Don't worry about it, okay? Your song, smile, you know, message what I was going to do and still mess up. But in 2 Chronicles 7, we've talked about this verse many a time in verse 7 of 14 in 2 Chronicles. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We talked about that on numerous occasions for a good while and how important that prayer is, how powerful it is. And in looking at the state of our country, our communities, the things that have happened, I make no bones about it. We are where we are because we have taken God out of the focus of people's eyes from top to bottom, from schools to families to individuals to our leaders. And I've been committed, it's been laid on my heart. The Bible tells us we should pray for our leaders. I'm committed each day for praying for the people who are in office. God allows all things. I'm a firm believer of that. And so whoever is in office, God has allowed them to be there for a reason and a purpose. Sometimes it's to move forward. Sometimes it's to show us what it's like if we try cutting God out. But a time such as this. So, 1 Chronicles 29, we got this right now. Beginning in verse 10, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. And to bring you into this, it has been David's passion and desire to build God a home there in the city of Jerusalem. And although he is close to his time of going to see the Lord, God has appointed that he should not build it, although he started gathering the plans and the things for it, but that his son Solomon would. And that answers a prayer that David has had and a desire of his heart. And here in Chronicles 29, verse 10, David gives this praise, beginning in verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. Now, think about that for a minute. God blesses you and I, but here, David is blessing the Lord. In other words, he's thanking him. He's giving praise to what God has done. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honors come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of you, and of your own we have given you. You may be seated. David recognizes here at this point in time that God has known his heart and what he desired to do. And he says, yet we're building this temple. And we know the story of the temple of Jerusalem that Solomon builds. He says, we've done this all to honor you. Yet everything that we are doing, everything that goes into building this great structure was all given by you. And I thought how true that is. There's nothing we want to give to God that he hasn't been the one who gave us first. We simply are giving back in honor of him. So a time such as this, where am I headed with this deal? I had the opportunity, probably as many of you did, or I hope you had the opportunity to see, and this is a disclaimer, this is not a political sermon, okay? I am not politicking for any candidate. I only politic and tell you the truth for Jesus Christ. That's the one who is above all. And I will say that up front. But I also am a firm believer that God allows certain things to take place in our lives, and I believe the scripture of what I read at the first of Second Chronicles. If we seek him, his people, you and I, believers, and we pray to him earnestly, we will see him hear those prayers and see him react to those prayers. Had the privilege to be able to have the opportunity to watch, and I'll have to use it, but it's not about a party, but I watched the Republican convention. And folks, I'm not about the convention. It's not what this is about. But I saw something this year at that convention that I have not seen in so many years. The focus was to give God the glory in that convention. There were pastors, there were individuals, there were everyday people in there who gave God the glory for what he is doing. I saw a man who is their nominee say that the only reason I am here today is by God's grace. And he's 100% right. The only reason... your song is living proof. The reason I'm here today is because of God's grace. You're here today because of God's grace. Wyatt is here because of God's grace. I also see that this has been coming for a while, even in little old Lano. We have one of our commissioners here. We have one of our judges here that are part of this service, part of this church. Miss Bonnie has been here as well, and they stand for God's statutes. And folks, that is what we have to pray for. A time such as this, we realize and see the evil that is abounding. The devil is on a head hunt all the way across the board, whether it's out on the streets for the deputies, if it's over there in the hospital where people are stricken with illness, or if it's people who are trying to corrupt our children with garbage and trash that they shouldn't be seeing, but we have to have someone to step up. And I want to give glory to God for these people who have been willing to do that. And they stand for that. Even in the midst of all the arrows and everything and the slings that the devil wants to throw to them. And folks, I would encourage you every day to pray for those people even if you don't know them by name, but pray for those leaders who stand for God's statutes and are boldness to proclaim them, despite what goes on. I tell you always that you can find anything and everything in God's Word. Nothing new is under the canopy of heaven that has not already occurred that God doesn't know about. And if you look in the book of Esther, and in Esther chapter 4, God comes again at a time that is critical for His people. And in 4:14, they're looking for someone. They're, again, the children of Israel have sinned. They're in captivity. But the king has taken favor to a young lady named Esther. And she goes to the prophet and speaks to him because he has offered to come before the king. And at the end of 14, as they're talking about it, he says, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" What I saw the other night was for such a time as this. I saw, actually invited Franklin Graham there to pray for the nominee and the vice president nominee. For a nation. Not about politics, but to earnestly pray for those two who would lead. I saw a pastor stand up. He was quiet. If you didn't get to see that, you missed something. That young man has been from the inner city and all sorts of things, and he proclaimed Jesus Christ wide open to everybody in the audience, not only there, but those who watched. And I praise him for having that boldness and taking that opportunity. They talked about people's lives who had been wrecked by sin, by drugs, alcohol, all sorts of things. And to let you know how much the world, the devil, wants to fight against the name of Jesus. And again, it's not political. I'm going to use the names because that's who was appointed. When J.D. Vance was named as the vice president, some of the pundits in the media said, "All he wants to do is return this nation to being Christian." And I thought, what a terrible thing. The devil does not want that to happen. I don't care about who the names are that are the leaders. What I do care about, because of myself, there's selfishness in it. I live still in this nation. And what I care about for each of you and for the children and the grandchildren and great-grandchildren and the generations to come is that we have a godly nation. America is what it is, not because of us, but because of God's grace. Because we had forefathers that humbled themselves before Him and ask for His guidance and direction. And Lord Almighty, how we need those same type of leaders today. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. You know, we often, while you're turning there, we often talk about, We pose the question, I have, other pastors have and all, that say, if it was a crime to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And that was the first thing that popped in my mind after hearing that newscaster say, all he wants to do is return this nation to being a Christian. That tells me he's lived a life enough that they honestly believe that. And that's what we need. Is someone who will stand for Christian values, who will stand for the statutes of God and lead people over and over in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, but especially Old Testament. We see that when Israel had godly leaders, they prospered. And not just from a wealth standpoint, they prospered spiritually, internally, the fabric, the peace that they have. Listen to the words of Jeremiah here in 29. beginning in verse 7. He says, and seek peace. He's speaking to the Israelites. He says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. He said, don't, I understand you're in captivity, but I've allowed that because of past transgressions without going all the way back through this. But he says, seek peace where you are at, in the time that you are at. He says, seek that peace in the city where I've allowed you to be carried away or caused you to be carried away to captivity, and pray to the Lord for it. We are to pray for that peace where we are, in the circumstances where are, the climate, the place, for in its peace you will have peace. Continues on. He says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they promise their prophecy for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and I will go, call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will cause you, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. I'm a firm believer this is not the end of our nation. Not if we seek God. Not if we pray for whoever is put into those offices. But it takes you and I, as God's people, in earnest prayer every single day to lift them up, and especially those who are proclaiming God's word and standing for His statutes, not by the world's policies, not by the world's law, but by God's law. I would encourage you to do that each and every day. And I agree with what Herman said a while ago. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I would ask you to consider the status and the state of our nation, our state, our communities, and seek God's guidance on who you cast those votes for. The biggest difference that I see is not about the two men that are running. I leave that alone. But there are two representative parties, and it's not about party. But it is about what I pay attention to is the platforms, the ideology that those two different ones have. And I saw one embrace God's statutes and Jesus Christ. Not full-hearted, I'll be the first to say that. They can got room for improvement just like all of us. But the other one I do not see, I'll be straightforward with you, I do not see how any Christian can stand in the platform of the Democratic Party. And if you think I say that wrong, go and read that platform. Amen. It is void of God. You have two choices, God's team or the devil's team. Just going to put it straight out there. That's my personal opinion. But I do believe what the book says. We have a choice. Follow God's way and be blessed, or follow our own way and the way of the devil and it leads to death. Jesus said, God said it in the Old Testament, Jesus said it in the New Testament. Narrow is the way. But wide is that way. Why is it wide? Because nobody wants to offend anybody. We see that daily. Everybody wants to get along. Well, getting along is not what Jesus came for. Jesus came in order to revive and redeem those people, you and I included, away from sin. And that will cause division. Christ himself said, I'm here to separate the goats from the sheep. So I encourage you in the time such as this, give a lot of prayer, not only at a national level, but at a state and a local level as we begin. And you go, well, that election's still far away. I'm here to tell you, folks, it's like anything else. That prayer starting today, carrying all the way through, is so important. Just like any big thing that you want to see happen, any building doesn't go up just on a whim in the middle of the day because it collapses. But those that withstand are planned for a long period of time, and the process starts way before the final event ever takes place. We started with David. The process and the desire to build God's temple went many years before it was ever completed. Our God made us a promise. He said, when my people call unto me, he says, I will hear. He tells us in Jeremiah here 29, just as to that day for those who were in captivity, if you seek my face diligently and you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. You will find me. I'm not going to tell you the candidates are 100% perfect because they're not. None of us are. But I also saw something take place, and I have no doubt two Saturdays ago it was the hand of God who kept from having someone die. And if you believe in that miracle, my friend, you can believe, was he brought for a time such as this? Not perfect, I won't say that. But I am thoroughly in favor of someone who gives God all of the glory. Amen. Not in themselves, but in him. I know there's a lot of controversy over what was done or wasn't done. You know what? Doesn't matter. Because God's never off the job. And God's always on the job. He protects and covers his own, just like he does me and you every single day. I invite you to bow your heads. I'm done. A little bit different invitation today, too. I invite you today to join with me together. Scripture tells us when two or more come in his name asking God for anything, that if we agree to it here, he too shall agree. I'm going to ask you to pray for this nation and pray for godly leaders. No name in specific because I don't know what God has in store. What I do know is he says, I know my thoughts for you. And God does have thoughts for us, and it is to give us a future and hope. He did that with Jesus Christ. He's still doing that today. Pray for our nation. Pray for our state. Pray for our local leaders. Here today together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. I thank you for your word. Father, how instructive it is. Let us be so attentive to what you have to say. Father, we do pray for our leaders, current and future. Father, we pray for godly leaders that follow your statutes, that leads the people of this nation and this state and this community in your paths of righteousness. Not what the world says, but what you say, Father. we, your people, call upon you and ask you to give us boldness and courage in our daily lives to set that example. You've allowed us to live in a nation, in a state, in a community where we elect representatives to represent us. Father, we cannot blame anybody but ourselves for the representatives that we have. But Father, we come to you humbly and ask for you to forgive us that our future decisions of elections will not be based on whims or what we think or not think, or we don't go vote. But that, Lord, we vote according to your will. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise for whatever you desire of how our nation would be led, our state and our communities. For those that you select, Father, I just ask for your blessing and your wisdom upon them and your hedge of protection around them, for they will fight the arrows of the devil every day, just as we, your people, do. And Lord, not only do I pray for that hedge of protection for those men and women, but I pray it for each one here. For Lord, when we take a stand for you, we know we're inviting that battle of the devil to begin to attack us. But he cannot overcome us in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus, Lord, you have proclaimed. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess, and the devil must flee at that name. So, Father, today, as a church body, we ask for your will to be done. We ask for you to hear our prayers. And, Father, whatever you say is best, we will give you the honor and the glory. We will accept, knowing that you knew all things and what they should be. Father, I ask this and pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.